All right. Well, we're recording now. Hey, Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Super excited that we're getting back into recording.
So the band is getting back together. I did catch the little bit that you are the episode that your first one that you put out. So welcome back. I did get called an ex, so I'm a little salty about it.
You know what? I was after you texted me that, I was waiting for you to bring that up on this. I knew that was coming.
Had to. Yeah, absolutely. But the band's getting back together. We're just far apart.
I didn't pay attention. I probably in my head meant to say my last co-host, or just really my co-host, and then all of a sudden it fell out of my face as, yeah, my ex-co-host.
No, it's fine. And honestly, when you started talking about the network thing, I really stuck with me, because I was like, that'd be super cool if it's just like, hey, this is an episode by so-and-so in the network that's like talking about this uber specific thing. Or even like, I loved, and I know we were talking to a friend of ours about potentially branching out and talking about other things, and I think if we, you know, have obviously the bread and butter is fantasy football, but having like Evan wants to talk about Premier League soccer, anybody interested in that, that's on our network.
That would be like super super cool if we could create, you know, not just a, you know, fantasy football thing, but you know, it could be the fantasy soccer friends. I mean, I guess technically that would be football, but just spelled differently. And then, you know, we just branch out. Like, the dream is to have a full community, you know, where listeners can talk, you know, they can find people to play in fantasy leagues, and you know, maybe we do, you know, I'm not really big into college sports, but I'd be down to get more into it, and then we can do a, you know, an FBS kind of podcast too.
Right. And I'd like, you reminded me when you were talking about it in the previous episode, but that we did something, that we did a charity league where we basically combined our efforts to make a team.
I listened to that episode on Spotify. Shout out to Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. I don't think, is Stitcher still around? Because it used to be one of the things that we could push out to, but I think, I'm pulling it up now. I don't see Stitcher on here anymore, which is really weird. Is that not a thing anymore?
I haven't been in the podcasting community or environment since we stopped in a couple years ago, so I actually don't know.
Maybe it's just fallen off. Oh, no. I guess Stitcher is still around. It's just not one of the main ones. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, that's the dream. But before we get too deep into anything, should name the show. This is the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. I'm your host, Cameron McCoy. I've got Chris Diaz back on the mic with me. Super excited about that. You can always reach out to us. We are on Twitter, and I just said I had to set all this back up, basically, like renew and update passwords and stuff, because I lost all of the stuff. So we're on Twitter at FFBFriends. So if you want to, you know, hit us up with any questions, really anything, you know, we're down to discuss it. And then our email is, I believe, the FFBFriends. And I can double check that real quick by going to my mail. This is fun radio.
I mean, getting the information is important. One day, if you could consolidate so you have like one name for everything, that probably makes it easier.
Yeah. The email is the FFBFriends at gmail.com. Just because, you know, Gmail, easy, it's free. So the FFBFriends at gmail.com, Twitter at FFBFriends. So basically, the only difference is there's the in front of the email, none at Twitter. So yeah, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to tell us we suck, that's mean, but you know,
I'll take it. Yeah. that's interactions.
Yeah, as long at least you're talking to us, right? And so, you know, how you been, man?
Been good, actually. You know, enjoying the change of pace with work and having time to actually focus on other things. Super excited because we actually, and this is kind of relevant, finished our rookie draft for our Dynasty League. We're in the, is it third or fourth year?
I think we started that league. I believe it's the this is the fourth year because Cam Leone, shout out to him at the Cam on
Sleeper.
Sleeper in I'm in one of his leagues. He's in this league. I think he's in another league that I'm hosting as well. Shout out to Cam Leone. He won the first year, and then of course I am the champ. So
Two times running, going
two
for a
times.
three-peat.
Oh man, dude, I'm so hungry for this third
I
win.
mean, you're kind of built for it. There's a couple teams that I would feel that you're in top contention, but
Yeah,
I know there's some teams that are that could do it on any given week.
there's Josh's team, that's Over Command. Then there's Evan's team is obviously a contender. I mean, your team's not really far behind. I just don't, and no offense, but I don't, you made it far last year. You weren't able to finish it out, if
No,
that makes sense.
I'm in that weird phase where I'm not quite bad enough to tank and like build for next year, but I'm not quite good enough to say I have a feel like I have a good chance. I'm trying to make more moves to turn the roster around and make it just go. I'm really trying to go young and try. If I'm gonna win, I'll just win young and then play for the future. But I'm with you. I think the top three are in their own little echelon.
Hang on 1 second. Sorry to cut you off. I'm gonna pause real quick. We're gonna take a break for some ads. One. Hey. Well, that was a great product placement, man. I really love that product. I use it every day. My life wouldn't be the same without it, really. So anyway, sorry to cut you off there for some ad time.
Hey, paying the bills comes first, even if it means it stops me in a sentence. What I was just gonna get finished saying was that the top three are in our league, in the Dynasty League, kind of in the league of their own, and then everybody else is kind of in a mix. I'm at the top of
So
that ugly mix.
you're at the top of the middle. So that actually like brings up a pretty good philosophical conversation that can be had about Dynasty is to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or give your opinion on this, but to me, you're either competing or you're building to compete. So you have to look at the age of your players. I think you even said that you're working on sending out trades and stuff. Obviously, you sent out an offer earlier that would put you in that like building to the future kind of situation where you're trying to pick up youth. So you're selling known commodities for youth that could be better. You just don't want to get into that spot where like you're not making those moves, or you're not at least trying to make those moves, because then you wind up, what, 4, 5 years of just being right in the middle, and you don't ever end up with the best picks, and you don't end up with the best players. So the way that I've tried to explain it to everybody that gets into Dynasty is your team's either rebuilding or it's competing. And our league is a little bit special because we expanded and we added two new teams, but we actually added four new team owners. So we dissolved two teams and then threw those players out there, and those four teams got to draft out of them. Just seemed like the most fair way to handle that. But we really just, wanted to add some more people, get some more movement, more activity in the league, and that seemed like the best way to do it. So, but all the old school people, for the most part, are in better shape than the newer people. Unfortunately, I mean, that's just the name of the game. But everybody's gonna have to at some point. Like, I'm worried about if I don't win this year, I don't know what I'm gonna do next season, just because my team is getting older, so age is getting ready to play a major factor in my team.
Right, and I like right along with what you were saying, so you have to make that decision. I think that's where I kind of put myself this year was I'm in that flux area where I have to decide if I'm competing or rebuilding. And I think, like, I was with my trades, and just for reference, the trade that Cam was referring to, I sent an offer for, I'm trying to get Justin Fields and DeAndre Swift off of a manager, and I'm sending Dak Prescott, Chris Godwin, and Melvin Gordon to
which
try
is,
to make
which
that happen.
Is way more fair than the original offer.
Oh, I originally offered Smith-Schuster.
Godwin.
Well, that was with the mindset that having Smith-Schuster take over the lead role in Kansas City, yeah. But that's a huge if.
That's a big if.
And he's not. He's proven in his play that he's best as a supporting receiver. He's not really
right.
An X. He's more of a Y or a slot.
Well, I mean, the way that the team is set up right now, it kind of feels more like he would be Travis Kelce first and foremost, and then he would be the backup anyway. So.
Right, and they need someone to take the top off of defense, and I think they did that with drafting Sky Moore.
And then
they
also have MVS. MVS is pretty quick.
That's true. Boomer bust is always what I feel with MVS because I've had him for a couple years in multiple leagues, and he's good for that downfield shot for sure.
MVS is that to me, he's the meme of, "Mom, can we have Tyreek Hill? No, we have Tyreek at home. It's MVS."
So. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, and I mean, it also kind of goes along with the, you know, getting out of older players or maybe transitioning from players that like are known commodities now. Because like, if I had Mahomes, I would try to turn that into.
I'd be trying to move him right now.
100%. Like you don't know, his situation is different. I still think he's going to be good, but for how long? And then also, sell him now while he's valuable.
I mean, for dynasty purposes, I don't think that he's going to be bad for long. You know, all it takes is them. Maybe not this season, maybe next season. All it takes is them landing a big name. You know, nobody expected before we got closer to the draft and stuff that Devontae Adams was going to ever not be a Green Bay Packer. Like, that just seemed like that was set in stone. He's going to be teamed up with Aaron Rodgers for the entirety of at least the rest of Aaron Rodgers' career. So all it takes is one more, you know, actual elite wide receiver, and like I'm sorry, Juju and Marquez, you guys ain't elite. I might be singing another tune at the end of the season, but I don't see it happening. I think Pat Mahomes is going to get it done. He's still going to be a QB1, obviously. Like, I still believe that's him, but I don't think he's going to be. I think the days of him being a QB1, like number one QB. Contender are put on hold right now, if that makes sense.
Right, and I mean, he's got other quarterbacks that I think are going to be pushing for that, because I mean Josh Allen lives in a pass happy offense.
Speaking of Josh Allen, I just saw something pop up earlier that I think Dawson Knox said something to the press about like, I guess they asked him what Josh Allen is like outside of behind cameras and stuff, like what is his off-camera personality like? Is he the same guy? And he was like, "Man, every day it's another D's nuts joke."
That doesn't surprise me. I've seen videos of him on the golf course, and everything, like every word out of his mouth is a movie quote. I love that, and I love him as a player. But like players like him, you have the, you know, Justin Herberts of the world. You know, and maybe some of these young guys, I mean, and Lamar Jackson, I mean, you had just mentioned, and we were talking about this via text that, you know, a couple years ago, you know, he's a steal of a draft. And like,
yeah, I can't
think
believe he was going in the 10th round that year, and then he was the MVP.
Right. And this is, but again, like, nobody's talking about that Lamar can still be up there. So I just think, and it kind of goes to the scarcity of talent at different positions, but quarterback's deep, and it's probably the deepest it's ever been since I've been a fan.
Easily. There's only. I mean, honestly, it's almost hard to think of more than... I mean, there's 32 teams. It's hard to think of who are the five worst QBs that are starting right now. I would have to say Marcus Mariota for the Falcons. I mean, that team is just a mess.
And this is in no order, right?
No, this isn't in any particular order. Sam Darnold, I guess, is the starter right now. That's pretty trash. I mean, I like the upside of Davis Mills, but he's certainly not contending for a middle-of-the-pack style play with the stuff around him. I like him as a
talent.
He's
an enigma.
Like, I got really disappointed because I remember drafting him last year in one of our rookie drafts, and I got really excited because I was like, well, at least I have, you know, I have my two starters, and then at least I have him, and then I logged in, and I guess it was like almost a dream, and then I was like, dang it, I don't have him. I didn't draft him in our main dynasty league, so
it's a weird situation just because Houston doesn't have a whole lot of
They don't have a whole lot of anything.
And yeah, it's hard to say, but like he did well with nothing. Imagine if he had something. And also, it was pretty impressive for him to go out there and have the games that he did. But I wonder if it's just a matter of like teams didn't have film or didn't have tendencies, because Taylor Heinicke kind of did the same thing in Washington.
He had a good stretch.
Yeah, but then it kind of like came back down to earth as teams got more used to his tendencies. But I mean, I'll never forget that game against Tom Brady in the playoffs. That was awesome, just to see that kind of effort from a guy who, at one point, because he was doing a podcast and he was talking about that process of like getting onto that team, and what happened pre signing with them, and like he was on his couch, or not even on his couch, he was on his sister's couch. Taking classes, and he got a call from his agent saying, "Hey, you want to play? Washington's, you know, going to sign him." And like to go from going to school, not, you know, doing your thing to, hey, you're going to be starting in a playoff game against Tom Brady, and you're going to go lights out. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then to be immediately sent to the bench
For Carson Wentz too, which is like, it hurts the heart, dude.
I mean, yeah, it's that's rough. I don't know. I still. Obviously, for any longtime listeners, I'm an Eagles fan. I still have hope for Carson Wentz. I don't think he's a bad QB. He didn't do terribly in Indianapolis, to be fair. They really just don't. I'm not super excited. Like, they don't have particularly stellar wide receivers, so they leaned on their run game, which is elite. I mean, he made some dumb decisions.
Right, and I was just about to emphasize that, is that the crazy thing about Carson Wentz last year is he actually statistically had a good season and collapsed at the end. Like, I think they went on like a 3 or 4 game losing streak, and then you can't go into Jacksonville with the playoffs on the line and play that game. And it was weird because I saw it in person, and I just did not understand.
Am I misremembering it, or did he not get injured at some point after like the halfway point in the season? Like, I feel like he had some weird, some like lingering injury or something. I could be wrong there, but
that I'd have to check. But I just think that there might be, like, football's mental game as much as it is a physical game. I 100%. Think that things started going downhill and it just kind of got in his head. And then, who knows? Cause I'm not him. But it was just a crazy fall.
I imagine for a quarterback too, like if you have one bad game and then the people that are supposed to be your fans start turning on you, it's hard to get out of that. So it's hard to get out of that mindset. I mean, so I kind of understand. I don't know. If they can work out the deal with Juju Smith-Schuster, or not Juju Smith-Schuster, he's on my brain right now. If they can work out the deal with Scary Terry, old Scarence Terrence, then that wide receiving core could be okay. It's just not another one that I'm like super excited about, but I think he can get the job done. I just think as a whole that team is just going to be bad.
Well, I just so you mentioned Terry McLaurin's deal, and with the market the way it is, and with receivers and what they're getting paid and what their contracts are getting, like those extensions, they're getting paid crazy money, and he's good enough to deserve crazy money.
I think what's BS, and just while quick aside on the topic of contracts and stuff, the amount of money that's being thrown at these wide receivers is crazy compared to what running backs are getting. Like, I think I re-listened to some of our podcasts from the first go around of this, and I talked about it a little bit back then too, but it's just ridiculous that these running backs are literally run into the ground and they never get to make the kind of money that a wide receiver does when, you know, wide receivers don't get smacked every single play that they touch the ball. You know, it's tough. I just think it's a little silly.
And part of it is the return on investment, because with a running back you get a finite amount of years. With a receiver, they're not as hit as much. They're not as much in the thick of things, so they last a little longer. So I mean I get it, but yeah, it's insane the amount of money that's getting thrown that way. But with McLaurin, I mean, you're right. The receiving core has a chance to be pretty solid. And then, I mean, there's good news coming out of camp for Jahan Dotson, which is the receiver
they
just drafted.
Yeah, I just saw something posted about that today.
And so if they were able to put that together, they have a passing attack. But I worry about the run game.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Rivera.
100%.
Like, he likes his run game. He likes, you know, the backs, and he likes using multiple backs. But
I mean,
Antonio Gibson, who knows health-wise, when he's on, he's on. He disappears, but what do they have behind that?
Well, I mean, all you have to do is go back and look at the last 2 years to know what their run game is going to be. Unless, you know, putting out any injuries or weird things like that, all you have to do is go back and look at the last 2 years, because it's the exact same running back core for the last 2 years, and it hasn't really worked to any extent. Yeah, Antonio Gibson, by the end of the year, his stats are okay. J.D. McKissic is always a thorn in the side, like a good flex play on most days, but like, are you excited to have either of those guys on your team?
Not at least Gibson, not where he's going in drafts, because I think people still think very highly of him.
Speaking of that, do you have that available by chance? Are you sitting on your laptop as well?
Yes.
Okay. I was just making sure like that we can both try to pull things up. Let's see if I can fantasy. Oh, my computer's going so slow recently.
So it says that the ADP for Gibson on PPR, let's see here, overall is 32.
Yeah.
19th running back for standard. He's the number 32 in PPR.
Man, that must mean that there's a lot of running backs going ahead of him. So
yeah, he's the 18th running back going off the board. So. Yeah.
Why have him at RB? What site did you pull up? Did you pull up Fantasy Pros?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. I have him at... maybe I'm not looking at him at the right...
Oh, I'm looking at ADP. Like, I'm on the ADP
tab.
Oh,
I'm on standard scoring. That's why. Because I was like, I have him at 16th running back off the board.
Yeah,
but
I see that
same position.
Now.
But I switched to half, and it says, yeah, RB17, 32nd off the board. I mean, guys going behind him. I'd rather have James Conner.
Yeah, I mean, and it's same worry with injury, but I think Connor's more proven.
I mean, Connor made it through last season pretty well.
And no more Chase Edmonds. Like, it's almost a benefit to him. He has more
to
work.
They added, who did they add behind him? They added somebody behind him.
I know they drafted a rookie to fill in.
Depth chart. I know that they drafted somebody to be behind him. ESPN, Arizona... depth chart. I don't know. I gotta clean out my computer, I guess. Cause it's
well, one of the, I was just thinking of like Darryl
Williams. Darryl Williams is who
true.
They brought
that's
in. That's a great backup behind him. I mean, honestly, like Darryl Williams showed great success, you know, at his last spot. So I mean, and then they have Eno Benjamin, which is it Keyonte Ingram is who
they drafted. Yeah, I know that's someone they're excited about, and I feel like we're like jumping from like we're starting something and then jumping to another and then jumping to another. But I was just about to think to mention Arizona is another team similar to Washington where I'm very not sold on how successful they're going to be. Kingsbury,
so
question marks.
Yeah, what do you think the biggest downside for them is? Because I would say the biggest downside for Washington is going to be their offensive line. It improved a little bit, but I'm not super excited about it. And then their run game, to me, isn't great. If Carson Wentz can live up to what he used to be, then I think that'll be fine. But, you know, I think those are their main issues. I also kind of think Riverboat Ron isn't that great of a coach anymore. So, but what do you think the main issue for Arizona is? Where would you put the onus? If you were the... general manager or owner, who would get the hammer?
Well, right now, I don't know if anybody's getting the hammer per se. I know a lot of fans and a lot of analysts think that Kingsbury is not going to be the long-term guy. I think he's done well considering he turned getting fired from a college job to getting hired as a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, sure.
That's a good turn, and I think he did well with that. First question mark is receiver. They have
just for the first 6 weeks, right? I mean,
yeah, but I mean that's 6 weeks, if it doesn't go right, puts you way behind. And in their
division. Oh, yeah. Well, 100%. That division, like, if you don't hit the ground running, you're...
Oh, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, that's rough.
But DeAndre Hopkins not being there, they're going to have to rely on young names. You know, Rondale Moore, rookie from last year, who's now going into his second year. Mm-hmm. Is AJ Green going to be anything relative? They don't have Christian Kirk anymore.
Did he get re-signed? Yeah, I guess he did. He's on their depth chart, so I guess he is on the team. Yeah, that's weird.
You know, you're looking at names like that, and then...
Oh, they have Marquise Brown.
Oh, yeah, that is right. They did get Hollywood Brown.
They traded for old Hollywood. So,
And, I mean, apparently him and Kyler Murray are close because they were celebrating the trade. I think he was out at, like, an event either the night after or something similar, because that was also very bizarre, side note, seeing a trade for a player of that caliber, like, on draft night. That was pretty cool.
We saw two of those.
Right, that was insane.
How crazy was that for, as far as drafts have gone in the past, to go from really just, oh, well, we're trading some picks, future picks and whatnot, we're moving up, that's how we're moving up, to, we had two, I mean, one and a half All-Stars get moved on the draft. That was pretty cool. This was one of the most exciting drafts. And it's not just as an Eagles fan, but just as a football fan. Like, this was one of the most exciting drafts that we've had in a while.
Agreed. And both moves were pretty awesome. But yeah, I had completely forgotten about Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, little Marquise Brown's there.
But again, Hollywood Brown is, I think, a niche receiver. He's in the game to run past defenders, but like DeAndre Hopkins, you lose that. Like, can you catch it? Double coverage.
You lose your elite wide receiver there.
Right. So I mean, and ultimately, all that still depends on what version of Kyler Murray they're getting, because in his best games, he's electric. I mean, I still think he's got the talent to be, you know, up there in terms of conversations for, you know, top 15, top 10 quarterbacks of the league. But there's a want to question, because I know he was. You know, there was a point in the offseason where we weren't even sure if he was coming back to Arizona. Was he interested in leaving? Was he upset with the situation? And then also, like, what happens when things go wrong? Because some quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady throws an interception. He's not going to let that linger. But it seemed like with Kyler Murray, it was a snowball. It started with maybe a bad pass, and then it turned into an interception, which turned into another, and turns into a pick six. And it's like, okay, now we're down 30. What the heck?
Well, honestly, like, that is I'm glad you mentioned him, because if I had to answer the question of what I think the biggest downfall for the team is, to me, it's Kyler Murray. I just don't think that he's lived up to the hype of what people were expecting for his entire career. I mean, what do you think? I mean, because he came into the league, everybody was like, well, oh, this guy's going to be amazing. And then I think even if we go back, I'm pretty sure am I wrong? Was his rookie year not 2019? Was that not his rookie year? I feel like he hasn't been in the league longer than 3 years.
He was drafted first overall in 2019.
Okay, so remember, I just went back and listened to these episodes. One of the people that I compared Lamar Jackson's egregious 10th round ADP to was Kyler Murray, who was going way ahead of him, which was just capital B, capital nanas. What are we doing? You know?
I think the mindset or the thinking then was Lamar Jackson, not as much of a proven passer. There was that RB like tag lingering around that he's just a
fair.
Running back.
I mean, and that was fair, but you know.
Well, but Kyler also had. I mean, you can't call one a running back at quarterback and not look at. I look at Kyler very similarly. That a lot of his flash plays and a lot of the reason that you want him as your quarterback is his ability to create with his legs. The difference is, I think Lamar's a little bigger.
Yeah, I was gonna say Kyler Murray's itty bitty. He's an itty bitty baby man.
He's 5'10".
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, not itty bitty baby man compared to
like normal people. He's
normal people,
bigger than
but I am. For the NFL, like itty bitty baby man, dude, come on. You can barely see over the offensive and defensive line. Like,
I mean,
talk about why. That's probably in his head. Like, oh, I got to get out of the pocket so that I can at least see downfield.
Right. But I, when you ask, you say, you know, has he lived up to the hype? I think he's made enough plays and has had enough success. And I mean, the Cardinals, I mean, historically not a great franchise. And I mean, as of, you know, the last couple decades have changed that perception. But he has them at least competing. I think he suffers from being in a division with teams that are also really good. Like, if he played in if that team was in a different division, if that team's in the NFC East, like, we're talking differently about him. But because he has to go against the Rams, he has to go against the Seahawks, he has to go against the 49ers, like, those are three NFC powerhouses.
Well, those are three NFC powerhouses now, but the Seahawks have had struggles over the last, like, over his career. The Seahawks have had struggles. They lost the Legion of Boom before he even got into the league. You know, the Rams, you don't remember Jeff Fisher? Was he not still there in 2019? Was Sean McVay already there? Sean McVay was already there. We talked about that on that cast. So he'd already been there for at least a year, I believe. So, I mean, yeah, that's fine. But I don't think their defense was quite what it is now back then. I mean, I could go and look it up, but this is just kind of, we're just, you know, shooting the crap right now. So, and then the 49ers, their defense has always been pretty good. I just don't think that making that excuse for him is quite valid. I feel like people crap all over Carson Wentz all the time. Kyler Murray's not really that much better, other than the fact that he rushes more.
Right. I think where I see a little different is I wouldn't want to play against the pass rushes of the NFC West, because I think all three teams have pass rushes. I mean, heck, the Rams. I mean, this was before
Aaron Donald.
Well, no, before Von Miller was there, not even there anymore. But like, that's ridiculous to have. At one point, Von Miller was one of the premier pass rushers, probably still is. And then you also have Aaron Donald, possibly the best defensive player to ever play the game.
Right. Yeah. Like, easily.
And that's, you have to play them twice.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I just think that he hasn't lived up to the hype. So that was a long aside off of what I was actually what we started on, but I mean, it was a deeper dive into the actual question of, you know, we were trying to think of who's the five worst QBs that are out there.
So you listed Davis Mills. We're kind of,
well, I'm on the fence about that. I think he's good, but
all right. So there's a situation in Cleveland that intrigues me on this question, because if Deshaun Watson, then no. But if Jacoby Brissett,
well,
then yes.
I mean, Baker Mayfield is still there.
There's no way. That is like inviting your ex back over to raise your kids. Like,
yeah.
No way.
I know we just broke up, but could you come water my plants while I'm on vacation with my new person?
Right. They're
like, I mean, you still have a key, so.
Could you imagine that conversation? Like, man, we really love your commercials, and, you know, you talked about this being your home. Would you like to, like, come back? Maybe?
Yeah. Well, again, he's still there. That's so weird. Because I saw a post on Sleeper yesterday, I want to say it was yesterday, saying that the talks are heating up again between them and Carolina.
Right. I know that at one point, I saw that there was a swap, Darnold for Mayfield swap.
If I was
Cleveland doesn't want to do it.
If I was Cleveland, I'd be like, why would I want to trade Baker Mayfield for Baker Mayfield?
Right, and the other thing too is
the Spider-Man pointing at themselves meme. Like, what? Why would I want to?
And they already identified their backup, because they, like, it's not like they just got Deshaun Watson. They went out and got Brissett too. It was like, okay, you're going to be the backup, and it was just Baker Mayfield's literally still on the team. Like, I guess I'll see myself out.
Yeah, and so I don't know, man. There were I don't know if you remember back then, but there were like rumors of Carolina trying to trade Houston for Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And Christian McCaffrey was on the board for it. Like, he was up for grabs in that. Like, that's wild.
No, I know. They were willing to trade him.
Well, that's what the report said, at least. But I think they said publicly that they wouldn't. But I think that's what the beat reporters were putting out there. So, it's like, I don't know, man.
That would have been another universe. That would have been pretty wild, seeing Christian McCaffrey in blue and red.
Yeah, that's the what if. Like,
yeah.
Marvel what if of the NFL. All
right, so we're looking at top or bottom five quarterback situations. So I think we both agree, and I want Marcus Mariota to succeed, just because it would be cool. He was a first round pick, or first overall, I believe.
Yeah, he
if
was
not,
first overall, and Jameis went second.
It was either that or reverse. I think Jameis went first.
I think Marcus was first, was he not?
I will look at
it. I wouldn't be surprised if Jameis was first. This is so long ago, man. I don't.
I want him to succeed simply because, you know, it'd be cool to finally get to, like, get that redemption.
He
was the second
sparks.
Overall.
Oh, so Jameis was first.
Yep, Jameis to the Bucks was first. So I feel like, yes, I agree, bottom five. According to Arthur Blank, Desmond Ridder, the rookie they just drafted out of Cincinnati, is miles ahead of any other rookies. And obviously, you just spent money on him. You're going to talk really highly of him. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see a situation in which we see a quarterback change if it's not working out. And you hate it for Marcus Mariota, but I mean, the Falcons, I think, are in that. We talked about dynasty. Are you contending? Are you not? They got to clearly see they're not contending.
Oh, not at all. And honestly, if I was them, I would, and I at this right now, at this moment right now, they would have to take pennies on the dollar for him. But if I was them, I'd be trying to move Calvin Ridley.
Oh, absolutely. And get it, I mean, while his value is high, because now you're gonna have the question of what's he going to be like when he comes back. Do I agree with his suspension? Absolutely not.
Oh,
I think that
absolutely
was very
not. That's
silly.
absolutely ridiculous. That absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, Deshaun Watson's potentially, I mean, up until now, still probably are possibly playing. I don't
Well,
think it's probable.
as far as Deshaun Watson's thing, I mean, there was a news report today that said that the NFL, and this is really funny, the NFL said that they feel like Deshaun Watson should have a significant suspension.
Aren't they
because
the
it's
ones
like,
making the decision?
bro, yeah, exactly. Like, bro.
It's like, we're going to punish you, but we feel like it should be pretty severe, and we're going to tell you that ahead of time.
The guy in charge of baking the cake says it'd be nice if he baked the cake. Like, yeah, you're in charge of baking the cake. It would be nice if you did your job. Now, I mean, I don't want to get into it too much, but like, if the allegations are true, obviously he deserves the
Absolutely.
suspension. But I do feel like this is something that happens with athletes. They pick up these things. It's a lot of ladies, though. I mean,
Oh,
but
yeah, it's a lot of cases.
that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not just a whole bunch of people that are like, well, I could jump on that bandwagon. I gave him a
Yeah.
massage once. Who's to say? Nobody else was in
Right.
there.
But there, I was reading one, and it was this like a renowned massage therapist, and some of the detail, it just didn't look good. It's not a good look. And like even the prosecutor, which is it's a weird thing for a prosecutor to say, but some prosecutor had stated that she believed he or she believed that criminal sh that he acted criminally, yet they didn't press charges. And it's just like, again, similar, like if you believe that, then I
Why
mean,
didn't
isn't the
you
obvious answer to
do
then
something?
proceed, yeah, do something about it. But I don't want to linger too much because it's all pending. It's all like live, and you
But
don't
yeah,
want to put
that's
something on tape.
so but yeah, that's a potentially not great situation. But I still, even if it was Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't put him in the bottom
No, no.
five,
I was purely
right?
like Brissett
Yeah,
would be
Brissett,
bottom.
that would be pretty, that wouldn't be great.
So the next
So
one,
yeah.
unless you had one in mind.
No, I'm still trying to think.
So
I mean,
Giants jump off the page immediately.
yeah, you really
I'm
think
hopeful.
Daniel
Danny
Jones
Dimes.
is, yeah, Danny Dimes is a bottom five QB.
So my thought process is this. If anybody's going to fix him, it's Coach Brian Daboll, who got the
Double.
Bills and Josh Allen firing on all cylinders. Granted, there's a lot of pieces to that, and the Bills front office is phenomenal and got a lot of great talent in a town that not a lot of people want to live at. But if Daniel Jones is going to see any improvement, I think this is the coach that's going to do it. I actually am higher on Daniel Jones than I feel like an average fan would be, but I
I mean,
do
he has
think,
weapons.
yeah, well, he has weapons.
Well, you say that. I mean, I say that. People can argue that, but it's like, on paper, he has weapons,
Well,
right? I
if
mean,
Barkley
Kenny
comes
Galladay
back,
wasn't bad.
right?
Barkley, what's his name? Their rookie from last year,
Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius Toney, had a couple games that were like, wow, look at that guy. He had one drive where he had like three passes for 60 yards or something, like.
Right, he's all over the place. Sterling Shepard's still on that team.
Yeah, but Sterling Shepard's pretty banged up.
Yeah,
And
he's
always.
listed as questionable currently.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hate that. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy to think. Sometimes it's like, oh, wow, there's 32 teams out there. And this is, honestly, it kind of just proves your point at the very beginning of this conversation that quarterback is a pretty saturated market right now.
Yeah, I don't think I can come up with five without making a hot take.
Zach
So
Wilson.
I'm actually, and this is just a me thing, but I'm actually looking for a soph. It's not his. It's his second year or third year.
Sophomore year. Yeah,
So
this
yeah,
is
I'm
sophomore year.
looking for a sophomore jump from him. Like they
But it's
I thought the Jets drafted phenomenally.
Yeah,
phenomenally. They used their capital.
They'll figure something.
I have faith in Coach Sala,
yeah.
And what they're doing up there.
Yeah.
I would say you could make that argument, but what I was gonna say here is there's enough saturation in the market for quarterbacks that you'd have to make some pretty hot takes for bottom. Because the next team I'm about to mention here, like, it's kind of hard to say, but at the same time, it's kind of a fair argument. How do you feel about the 49ers quarterback situation?
I feel like it's messy. I feel like it's the reports coming out of camp just make things weird. It's unfortunate.
Is it just me?
It's unfortunate that Garoppolo had to have his surgery when he did, because I really feel like the reports wouldn't be coming out like they are if not for that. But I also think that it's time to take another quick commercial break. So we'll be right back after you guys get an earful of these sponsors. One. So, yeah, that situation in San Fran is just, it's messy. I think that they dug themselves into a hole by drafting Lance.
Right, but then, like, the news out of camp is, this is the only situation where you've literally heard both sides.
Yeah.
He's great. He's going to make crazy plays. He's doing things other players can't. And then also, I've heard they're on the same quarterback, isn't working out. Doesn't understand NFL offenses is going to be terrible. So, like, who knows?
Well, it's like that was the same exact thing that was coming out of camp last season, was it not?
Right, yeah. And, they were expecting to see a jump, and they haven't. I'm hopeful, but that's a situation that, like, it's been consistent. You know, you've been telling us the same thing, you know, having trouble getting used to, like, the talent gap or the, mm-hmm. you know, the skill jump and the speed jump. It's a good team, and Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, especially on the offensive side, but I don't think enough people are taking into account that the offensive coordinator is different this year.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
going to change things up. Also,
yeah.
I mean, the Debo situation, whether or not they're going to pay him, you know.
Right, and then as him, like, what do? They're using you literally as an everything back, and you said, I just...
Yeah, they're running you into the ground.
Right, absolutely no way.
Yeah, like, you guys should at least pay me like these other wide receivers are getting paid, and not use me like a running back and then pay me less than the top tier wide receivers. Like, this man was, what, wide receiver 2 last year? Second overall?
Yeah.
Like, and how are you not going to pay this guy?
Yeah, and he's not getting paid. He's not getting paid commensurate to getting run into the ground.
If Trey Lance is their QB, I think that's going to be a bad situation. I could see him being bottom 5. Honestly, you were talking earlier about the trade that you sent out. I could see Justin Fields being bottom 5. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of that list is going to be people going into their sophomore year.
Yeah, but, I mean, Chicago's a great point, or a great team to make that point for, because what did they do to make him or his situation any better? Their draft included no offensive help. They got a rookie that's older than some, like, fifth, like, I think he's the same age as someone who's in their fifth year in the league. It's, like, insane. He's an old rookie.
Yeah, he's super old, and they shipped off or lost, let him go, Allen Robinson. Like, they're only, I mean, Darnell Mooney's good, but Allen Robinson's out the door. So really, like, they lost help. I don't, that team is that's just a, to me, that's, it's unfortunate how far they've fallen as a franchise, because back in, like, what, the 80s, that was a good franchise.
And then, yeah, and they had a couple years here and there where they put something together, but I just think the front office there just leaves a lot to be desired.
Absolutely terrible.
I'm about to make a really hot take, and especially scorching because it is my team that I follow so dearly.
Yeah.
But the Steelers quarterback situation is going to be in that conversation potentially.
See, but I disagree. If they go with Mitchell Trubisky, I think that he has enough weapons around him. He's going to end up with some good stats. He's got great pass catchers. He's got one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league. The offensive line still isn't great, which is the biggest detractor from what he's going to be able to do, but the man is athletic. He has shown English, that he can run, too. So he can rush. I think that Mitch Trubisky gives him the best chance to win. And we kind of talked about this via text, I believe, that I just don't see Pickett starting.
He would have to be like miles better for them to make that decision.
Yeah.
And then to kind of play on the other side, the reason I were like, so in Trubisky, I have faith. I actually am glad we made that pickup.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a good bridge. He has talent, and I'm glad it's not Mason Rudolph.
Also, it's cheap.
Yeah, it wasn't expensive.
Like real cheap.
So I think he could be good. My concern, and you alluded to it, is I believe our offensive line is very bad.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any new players.
Like
we,
you guys
moved some people around.
You guys' offensive line is as bad as the Bengals like 2 years ago.
Right, and they almost got their like literally their franchise player
broken,
killed.
Broken in half.
So
I mean, it's the same thing as the Colts back when Andrew Luck was there.
Forced that man to retire. It's a shame because
he got beaten into the ground.
Andrew Luck could have been like in the conversation of greatest of all time at the end of his career if he stayed for like a normal career.
Honestly,
and he just couldn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, that. But honestly, like I'm actually low key excited for Trubisky to start. I picked him up in the Dynasty League. I mean, that's not just me, you know, trying to puff myself up because he's my third quarterback. It just, you know, I actually do expect him to have some success. Is he going to be a top 10? Hell no. Is he going to be a QB2? Yeah, he'll be somewhere in that mix. I mean, he'll be somewhere between 12 and 24. That's not that hard to do.
No, 100% believable. And against the Bengals defense, the Browns defense, like it's doable. The Ravens are a little scary.
Yeah, the Ravens.
They drafted really good or really well on the defensive side. So, unfortunately, I do. Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season yet as a Steeler.
I don't think it's going to come this year.
You don't think so?
No,
I think they'll go.
I know. I think their Vegas line on them right now is like 7 wins. I would take the over on that.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a well enough coach team, and the organization is solid.
And the weapons around them are great.
Oh, the receivers is kind of scary too.
I know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like you have all these weapons. So he has to get the ball out of his hands quickly. It is what it is. Those guys will make things happen. If they're constantly getting pass rush because their offensive line is trash, then the receivers are behind the first line already.
True. That's a good point.
So you just work on quick passes. I mean, shallow routes, quick passes. Have Claypool run down the seam, spread the defense out a little bit, clear the middle of the field. You got Najee out of the backfield. You got Deontay Johnson, and then now they have their new rookie.
Two of them, Calvin Austin and George Pickens.
Yeah, I'm excited for George Pickens.
I think both will be pretty good.
I'm more excited about Pickens.
Well, so Austin, I believe, is an insurance policy for Deontay Johnson, because if Deontay Johnson leaves, I think Austin fills that role.
I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know. Your organization is weird. Y'all don't like paying people. I feel like just don't like paying people.
In the past, yes, but we did just make Minka Fitzpatrick the highest paid safety and T.J.
Watt
the highest paid defensive lineman.
That's defense.
They don't like paying offense.
Yeah, you guys just don't. But the flip side of that coin is that you really do have great scouts.
Like, at the receiver position? I don't think there's a better team.
I mean, I wouldn't even just say the receiving position in general, but like, well, outside of quarterback, maybe. I think your scouts for running back and receiver are great, and your tight ends. Like, all three of those positions, all three of your key offensive positions, excluding quarterback, y'all scouts are great. Y'all end up with great pieces that people wouldn't expect, but I mean, like, Pat Freiermuth. Was anybody expecting him to have the season that he did last year as a rookie?
He was pretty good in college, but nobody expected that. And then same thing with Deontay Johnson. He came from a small school that was underscouted.
Like, obviously, your S-tier, your top-tier S-tier scouting is on wide receivers, which is why I can fairly confidently say that at least one of the two of the rookies you drafted is going to be something.
No, I think Pickens is going to be the guy. They've already talked about.
I think Pickens is the guy.
He's got star potential, and he was injured at Georgia, but he was a monster.
So, I mean, so outside of the teams that we already talked about, are there any other teams, you know, just we're kind of on the topic of, you know, bad quarterback play, there anybody else you can really think of? I mean,
Seattle's the only other one that jumps out.
Yeah, well, I don't know how we went so long without talking about Seattle, because that's rough.
They
Drew Lock. Drew Lock. And honestly, the reports are, the reports out of the mandatory minicamp, or no, the reports out of the voluntary OTAs, I think, were that Gino was ahead, and then they came out and they were like, well, we're still really excited for Drew Lock, and we think once he gets some more time to learn the playbook, like, he'll be able to step up. And it was just like,
do they believe that?
That sounds very much like the wording of the press release and stuff that I read and heard very much screamed, somebody please help us.
No, it sounded like we need Drew Lock to be the guy.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, and it's not a funny way to put it, but it's kind of like you're in an abusive relationship, you go somewhere, you slip somebody a note like, hey, I need help. That's what that feels like to me.
You order that special drink that tells the bartender you're in trouble.
Right, exactly. Like, who in their right mind is out here getting excited about having Drew Lock as their quarterback? And he's not even at the top dog now. It's Geno Smith still. Which, like, Geno Smith was good for DK Metcalf. That's kind of why I traded for him and then traded him away. Because I was like, never mind.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't make a play for Baker, because I think Baker fits the Russ style of play.
I mean, it's very... Well, I don't know that I would agree that he fits the Russ style of play, but I do think he would fit their style of play, because I think the Browns have a very similar philosophy where they kind of want to run more than they throw. Right. And so that's why they went out and got Watson, because he can run. He can very well run. And he can also throw decently.
Yeah,
so,
but imagine going from having Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Dimitriak, or I can't remember his first name, but the third guy, and then turning that into Rashad Penny, Chris Carson, who may not play football anymore.
I don't think Chris Carson's coming back, but yeah, Rashad Penny and
that's a huge rookie downgrade.
Yeah, I mean it is, but it's an upgrade at wide receiver.
Oh yeah, Lockett.
Lockett and DK.
Yeah, that's real nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, I would say that one jumps out.
That is pretty rough. Honestly, I just mentioned it. That's why I traded for him in our Dynasty League, and then I kind of sat and thought about it, and then another manager he sent me the trade offer to take him off my hands, and I was just like, you know what? I don't think he's going to be that good this season. This is my win now season, so I don't really want to hold on to him and hope that it's a couple years down the road and there, or even next season after this one, and they figure out their QB situation. You know, I'd rather just unfortunately not have any shares of him in that league and just move on.
Right. Yeah. The Seattle is not a team I want any players from.
Yeah. This year, it's going to be rough. I mean, I think they'll have good games. They'll pop off sometimes, but I think they're going to be so inconsistent, it's not going to be fun to play them. I mean, they already were very inconsistent.
Right, yeah, I think it might be shades of last year with a little more of what the Broncos looked like.
It'll be just worse.
Right.
Like, less boom games. Like, instead of booming for 6 to 7 games, it'll be 3 to 5 games, you know? And that's not worth having on my team, really. So I'll be avoiding them in my redraft league stuff going forward this season, I think. That's what I would recommend. Just straight up avoid them. I do like Rashad Penny, though. If he stays healthy, I do really like Rashad Penny.
Yeah, that's just that's the question. That's the million-dollar question with him.
Can he stay healthy? Because he can. Mm-hmm. But maybe he can. I don't know. We'll see.
This year may be different.
Yeah. We hope. But, yeah. Well, hey, that was a fun conversation. We're getting close to the hour mark right now. Do you have anything else? Any other pressing topics on your mind, fantasy football-wise? Any other news kind of things coming up? Oh, just kind of as an aside, you know, just to shout it out and say that we did get a question, kind of. Justin in our league, Leap Lorp, he threw out, I don't know if you saw, he wanted us to talk about Cam Newton and Rob Gronkowski. So some dying stars.
So Tell me if you agree, but
I said
Cam,
no to both.
Cam definitely not.
Yeah.
Gronk, if he plays, I think it's worth it.
I think that's exactly what I responded to him in the chat. Like, I'll throw it out there. That, I mean, because any time we get a question, unless we get to a point where we're just inundated with them and we can't possibly answer all of them at the same time. For right now, you send us a question, we'll answer it. Hey, Justin, bleep lord. Yeah, as far as your question's concerned, I don't see Cam Newton being relevant ever again. I mean, the problem is that he's relegated to backup duty, and whether or not he wants to actually do that is up to him. So if he wants to play, he's going to be a backup. He's not going to be a starter, unless the starter in front of him gets injured. As far as Gronk goes, if Gronk comes back, he's going to go back to Tampa Bay, and he's going to be decent while he's there. That's exactly what happened last year. So it's a pretty straightforward answer on both of those players.
Right, and with Cam, I think his golden opportunity into relevance kind of came and went, because last year, you know, goes back to Carolina. They don't have a quarterback. They're on the fringe of, you know, 500 football.
But he had, like, one or two games where he was okay?
Yeah, and then it just tanked. And like,
that
I remember
was so bad.
It, like, he came out and the fans were all behind him, and it's like, this is your moment. You play well in this game, that snowballs, and it just, like, fell flat, like, 100% flat. And, yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. He's relegated to backup. Maybe on an off week in a good matchup, you stream him if he's going to play, if, like, Darnold's hurt or,
maybe,
you know, they don't have another option. But
maybe.
And then with Gronk, like you said, if he comes back, I mean, him and Tom have that chemistry. Gronk's kind of streaky. Gronk will have games where he blows up and then other games where, you know, it's just...
Well, especially if he comes back, especially the first half, well, we expect Calvin Ridley to not be ready. Or not Calvin Ridley, I'm sorry, Chris Godwin to not be ready. Those games, I mean, he'd be one of their main receivers, probably. I mean, he'd definitely be the it'd be him and Mike Evans with the most connection with Tom, so.
Right. They picked up someone new this year, though, that I know.
They picked up a dude from Atlanta.
Russell Gage.
Russell Gage, yeah. And Tom actually came out and was speaking his praises, but still, it's that chemistry, that connection. I still think that he'd be pretty good with, if he comes back, I think he'd be better this year than he was last year, but that's a big if. I don't really necessarily see him coming back.
Yeah, like real basic, if I had the choice to have them or not, I would say no to both.
Yeah, I wouldn't even roster either of them. So, hey, Justin, there's your answer. If you have them on your team, I imagine you do because you asked about them, I would go ahead and drop them. I don't see them having any real relevance, and if given the opportunity, I don't think anyone's going to fight you for them. So, it is what it is.
Yours.
Anything else?
No, this was actually a lot of fun. It was great to kind of get back
into
the saddle.
Yeah, I think I really like this style where it's less formatted and we're just kind of train of thought talking about what's going on in the fantasy league. So this might need to become kind of not like obviously not every episode, but you know, every now and again, we just
going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we just sit around and talk. It's like you know, we're just hanging. We're friends hanging out on the couch talking fantasy football. You know,
right? Just that, with all of our friends and their friends too.
It's just a conversation, you know. And I think,
and I like this. I like how it turned into we started talking about one thing, and then we mentioned one player, and that went us down another.
Yeah.
But like that kind of conversation. That's like natural.
That's the kind of
how it happens.
Yeah, that's the kind of conversation you have with your friends, and that's what we're all about here at the Fantasy Football Friends. We want to be your friends. We want to be the guys that you listen to and it feels like you're part of the conversation. I hope that there were moments, that there are moments when you're listening to us that you're nodding your head, you're agreeing with us, or you know, even moments where you disagree with us. I mean, that happens. You know, we're not quote unquote experts. We've played for a long time. We watch the games. We follow the news. We have our opinions, but we're not experts. So this is just kind of us doing our thing, having fun. Well, maybe one day we can be considered experts. But
and just to clarify, I played fantasy. I've never actually played football.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I was bad. I played flag football when I was real young, and I'm pretty sure the coach basically was just like, your kid can't play for this. Because I would just, anytime I was on defense, I didn't care what he would call. I just rushed at the quarterback. So,
So they pay people a lot of money for that. So
that is
the
true.
Right idea.
Yeah, that maybe that coach was wrong. Maybe I could have been a really good edge rusher. I don't know if I'm built for that.
What could have been? You'd have to put on at least double your weight, right?
That's the what if machine for my life. But no, it's cool, man. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy with us being able to do this. This is a first trial run for this program we're using to remotely record this. Now that you know we don't live in the same city, but hey, man, thankfully technology has given us that opportunity that we can get back into this. You know, maybe we can turn this into a regular thing again.
Yes, sir, and thankful for technology for making that gap or that distance smaller.
And you know, hopefully this will help us grow our fantasy football friends, right? You know, we'll have more guests on, more co-hosts. I think you and I will be the main two. I'm the main guy, main cheese, and then you're no longer the X. You're I don't want to curse on this, so I can't say what I was gonna say, but you know, for a pimp, you're the head lady.
Oh, I know. I figure where you're going. Yeah, I can hear it in Butters' voice. Butters.
I'm not gonna say it on a family friendly podcast, but you know, that's where I was going. You're up there. You got that status, but. You know, you have other things going on. This isn't really, you know, you're doing this for fun. This is more, I understand, this is my passion project, so. But I do appreciate, love talking to you always, you know, best man at my wedding and whatnot, so.
Excited about that,
too. Yeah, it's always
been
fun. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? We should do, we should plan to do when all of you guys are in town. We should do an episode.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That's a great idea, actually.
That would be super fun for, you know, my bachelor party night. We'll, before we get... You know, too partied out.
You should do two episodes that night. Do one pre and one post.
God, that'd be so sloppy.
the post one would be a mess.
Yeah, or do one the morning after and do one super hungover.
God, we'd all be whispering like this because we can't talk to it hurts.
Please stop laughing. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, well, just to throw it out there again, guys, thank you for listening. This is the Fantasy Football Friends. This is our... inaugural on the couch kind of episode where we just kind of see where the conversation takes us. It was very fun. Again, if you want to reach out to us on email, it's theffbfriends@gmail.com. And if you want to reach out to us on Twitter, it's ffbfriends @ffbfriends. So yeah, hit us up with any of questions, comments, concerns. You know, we're not, you know, right now is dynasty season, obviously. So hit us up with those questions, trades, you know, rookie drafts, whatever you got going on for that. And then we'll be getting soon. We won't be too far from draft season. Hit us up with those questions. You know, whatever you got going on. You want us to talk about a certain player, really kind of dig deep, we'll spend some time on it. We're happy to accommodate that. So we just hit over an hour. I think that's about a good time to wrap up. Hopefully we'll have a intro and outro song to play soon. But until then, y'all have a good one.
Have a good night.
Yeah.